got to use the faith of God to make it work. See, so you've got your own resurrection inside of you.
Your resurrection lays inside of you in your spirit. I know when Jesus died on the cross, his soul descended into hell and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not the long-suffering days of Noah. His body went into the grave. But before he died, he committed his spirit into the hands of God, into the hands command my spirit. So you see, his spirit went to God, his soul went to hell, his body went to the grave. Now, that spirit that was in him was the spirit of God. That spirit in sundry times and divers manners anointed the prophets to bring the message to the people. In the last days through Christ, now in these days here, through the gospel. Now, when we receive Christ into our heart, there's all that we have need of. There's eternal life. Now, Christ could not come back until 3 days was fulfilled, because his spirit was behind a screen, like a bar, like this, that he could not cross over that bar, because it was the spoken word of God that he was to lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Now he could not come back until that 3 days and nights was up. Then when 3 days and nights was up, his spirit was loosed. It went directly to his soul, and his soul came back and picked up the body and fulfilled what he said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. I have power. Now, each one of you have power the same way, because you are sons and daughters of God. And the very spirit that's in you this morning, the Holy Spirit that's in you this morning, that same Holy Spirit will raise you up. So you have power to raise yourself back up. When you die, your soul will go into under the altar of God, right in the presence of God. Now your spirit will go to God, but you cannot come back. You remember the Bible said the spirit, the souls are on the altar crying, Lord, how long, how long? And we could not return until the scriptures fulfilled. Like Christ cannot return until the scriptures fulfilled. Then after all has been done, all the suffering's over, and the brother has suffered the same things, or we've suffered like they suffered, and so forth. Then on that day, you'll know exactly where you're buried. Your spirit will be turned loose from God and will come to the soul. Now the soul is that part of you who knows and understands your intelligence. You remember the vision I had not long ago, or the little translation, went into that place and saw those people?
Amen.
Now your spirit will come back to that body and that kind of a body, the soul, which is a body that does not have to eat and so forth. This earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. We have one already waiting, a celestial body. And with that spirit and that soul and celestial body, you'll raise up again this natural body for that great millennium. You have the power in you now to do that. Now, but that power that you have in you now could make a new world. God doesn't have little weak spots and big heavy spots. It's powerful. The least little touch of God is omnipotent.
Amen.
See? The least little touch of God. So you know, so I'm trying to get you in faith now. You know that something has happened to you as a Christian. Do you know it?
Amen.
You used to ride down here in the muck with all of the muck and sin and drinking and gambling and things of the world. Well, as soon as you believe that Christ forgave your sins, you raised up above that stuff.
Amen.
Now you're riding up here, the above all of it. Why? Because that you believe that you are a Christian. Then when you accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit came to you, then you had faith in the Holy Spirit that gives you power to ride above that kind of a life of sin. Well, now the only thing you have to do to ride higher into healing is just have more faith.
Amen.
Just keep pushing out. See, and there you are. Now you're sick and you're not a Christian. Become a Christian right now so that healing power will come in you by becoming a Christian. And that will give you faith to ride above sin. It will give you faith in everything that you have need of in this journey is right in you now. And the only thing you have to do is have faith in God that pushes that good things out of you, which is by the Holy Spirit. You understand? child, I believe. And if you're here now, sir, remember, you cannot, your faith will have to go for that child if it's a little infant child. But now, let me take another scripture, if it's all right. Just
all right, yes, Brother. Hey.
Just remember, now in the Gospels, we read over in the 16th chapter, I believe, of the Acts, or that Paul and Silas was in prison one night. And they'd been beaten because they cast the devil's spirit out of a fortune-telling girl. And it was, and she, her masters, had got angry about it and beaten them, put them in inner prisons. And then when they did that, well, Paul and Silas was praying, and God sent an earthquake and shook the jail down. The Philippian jailer, being a centurion, which to lose his prisoners was to be his own life, but have to pay for the prisoners. He pulled his sword and was going to commit suicide when Paul ran forth and said, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And this centurion had saved some impression they had had about Paul and them. They might have sung hymns, they might have testified or done something. But whatever it was, they know that they were a holy man. They know there was something different about those men because quickly he asked, "What must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
"What must I do to be saved?" Now Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And thy house shall be saved.
Amen.
Well, now, if believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't mean that his salvation would save the house, but if he's got enough faith in God for his own salvation, he can have the same faith for his house. And his house will have to come in.
Yeah.
The same thing. Same as Job did, as I said the other night down in Georgia at a meeting. I said, "Job," he said, "now I don't know if my children have sinned. But what if they have sinned?" And Job had one thing to do to be righteous, that was offer a burnt offering. He said he would offer the burnt offering if his children had sinned, then they would be forgiven of their sin. And it was a good thing that father does. That's a good thing he fathered. We need more of those kind of fathers today. And Job offered the burnt offering. That's before his tragedy set in. But when his children was all killed, and his sheep all destroyed, and all he had taken, he's sitting on the ash sheet in the back of his house, scraping himself with a piece of crop. Did you notice? After the days of his tragedy, when God began to restore to him again, where he had 10,000 cattle or so forth, he restored double his sheep and double everything. But did you notice? And God also gave Job his 7 children. Did you ever think where they were at? That burnt offering stood for him.
Amen.
They were saved in glory, waiting for him to come. He's with them today. Thy and thy house shall be saved. See?
Amen.
Now, Job had one thing. that you are. And all the things that you have need of is in you. So therefore you just start drinking from God's promise and it's the truth. God said He healed me. By His stripes I am healed.
There you are.
What you do? You start pushing out of it. And then others can see what you have. Now what is faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Now I set that little tree out and don't see the apples. But they're in there. That little tree knows they're in there. So he just starts drinking. Pushing, pushing, because he goes, it's in me. I'll get it out there after a while. Give me a little time. Just give me a little time. He just keeps drinking. I know the apples are in me. I'll bring them up after a while. And the first thing you know, here they come. Here comes the apple because he believes that they're in him.
Amen.
And if you believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is in you to heal you,
amen.
There you are. Just keep pushing. See? You have faith. You can't see the results right away. You don't see it. Now see, James justified Abraham by his works. Paul justified Abraham by his faith. What do we say then between the two? Abraham was speaking on what, Paul was speaking on what God saw in Abraham. And James is speaking on what people saw in Abraham. See? Now, see, therefore God knows that before the baby come that Abraham had faith, and Abraham proved it to God by acting like that the baby was going to come when he was sterile. He had no children. His wife's womb was dead. And he was sterile. But yet he knew in there somewhere was the baby.
Yeah,
see, he kept drinking the promise. Leaning on God's great El Shaddai, the breast. Leaning there, drinking, knowing that God would give it. Know that it is a promise that he had to it. And we're the children of Abraham, so let's lean on to his promise and hold there, knowing that God will do it. I'm successful. You believe it now? Then let the sick line up over here on one of the sides of the other. It wants to be prayed for. And if we get the elder here and anoint them and oil them, I'll pray over them and we'll believe it. God will make every one of them well. If thou canst believe. Kenny, where are you at? Come around on this right-hand side. That's good. And I want you to play only believe. While they're coming, let's us bow our heads, the rest of the audience. Let's be in prayer for these people who are coming. Our Heavenly Father, we bring to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ these poor, sick, suffering humanity that's in this terrible, disastrous condition. I believe you, Lord. I know that your words are true. They are so true. They cannot fail because they are God's eternal and everlasting word. They are all powerful like God is because they are a part of Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now we believe that, Lord, with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all that's inside of us, we believe it. And I've tried in a simple, childlike way to present it to the people that they might understand and know that the power of coming down across the mountain. I see a man coming. Wasn't any different from any other man. He was just an ordinary man. Kind of small in body, rather frail. As we see, look his eyes down upon a scene taking place down in the valley. It was his apostles. They had a boy down there that had epilepsy. And no doubt what they were saying, healing, Lord, heal. But you see, just saying healing, Lord, healing won't do it. That just won't do it. There's got to be something behind that healing, Lord, healing. And if I can get you to believe that, and believe that with all your heart, you're going to be healed. If I can get you to really see the vision, how look at what the Father's done, maybe shaking, maybe pushing harder. Believe it, brother, believe it. Hallelujah, believe it. Healing, Lord, healing. But the devil stayed right there. Because he couldn't find a faith there to make him believe. But here comes one down across the hill. And as soon as that devil recognized that that was a little different than that other man. Now that's the kind of man we want to be among. Just not come for a show, but come in love of our God. And know that we've been commissioned to go do this. This is our commission. Then we walked up to Father, I think this is where this song was written from, composed of the word. He said, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he's fiercely vexed with the devil, said, it throws him in the fire and pines away and so forth. He said, I brought him to your disciples to make him healing. But I brought him, he said, I can if you will believe.
Judge that whether it was right or not. I've never seen her mother in my life. She knows that. And the girl when we are really saved. Now that's really fine. I certainly appreciate that fine Christian spirit of believing. Now just remember, now to this young lady, she's here somewhere, and to another Catholic lady that came by, and I'd like to take these words just before I turn the service to her.
Amen.
Is this. Now, the Catholic Church was one time like this church. If you go back and read the Bible, which we believe and do know that the Catholic Church was the first church. That is true. But it got away from its teachings. This was the teaching of the Catholic Church. But you see, they got 600 and some other books that popes and so forth has written. It's just as holy to them as this Bible. So see, what this is, you haven't changed. What you've done, you've just been converted. See? Now, if you take, of course, I guess maybe some of you, the other two this morning was women. There might be some Catholic men sitting in here. If you go back to the history of the church, if you might ask your priest, the action of these apostles in the Bible here, was that the way that, was that early Catholics? They'll tell you yes, and that's true. They were. Now, they look what kind of religion they had. They met in little simple places. They never said Hail Marys or Our Fathers. That's a tradition of the church. What did they say? They praised God. They screamed. They cried. Look here in Acts 2 when the holy apostles Peter and James and John and all were together. The Bible said they spoke in tongues. And they screamed and even act so filled with the Spirit until they acted like they were drunk. And even to the outside world, are not all these drunks? And then Peter, the apostle, the holy Saint Peter, when he stood up and he said, "Men and brethren, these men are not drunk, but they're filled with the Spirit as the Bible says they were." Now that was an early Catholic Church according to the teaching. Now you see, after about 200 years, the dignified begin to get into the church. Then what they do, they made their first organization at the Nicene Council in 8606. They made when the Nicene Council was held at Nicaea, Rome, they began to get all the great dignitaries in, and they just formed a church and made a church. And that broke four or five times. Then they went from that to the bishop, from the bishop to a pope, and from that to come to the Greek Orthodox and different ones till they just broke it up the way you see it today. It's just an all kind of breakup. But what they're trying to do, my Catholic friend, see, we are Catholic too. We are the early beginning Catholic. In the church that they call us now, mostly, we're referred to as Pentecostal because we believe in the Pentecostal blessing. That's where the Catholic Church is organized. In our organizations of Pentecost today, if this world would stand 500 years longer, this Pentecostal organization would be more formal than the Roman Catholic Church is today. It's just getting farther away, same way. And when you organize, you make a lodge out of it. And then you just become lodge and members and unconverted souls. To my precious dear brothers and sisters, to all of you,